Paul wrote Colossians and James wrote James. And the other day when I was doing the one on James, I said, Paul said, and I went, wait a second. Paul did not say that. I had to go back and correct myself, say Paul did not say that. James said that. So when you're working on two different books of the Bible by two different authors, you got to keep it straight. You know what I mean? You don't want to get off. But we are in Colossians, and Colossians is a book that Paul wrote. Next Sunday, we're going to be finishing up Colossians on May 3rd, and then on May 31st, we'll be starting a new series called Staycation. It's kind of a play on vacation, but it's stay. Anybody ever heard of a staycation? That's where you stay at home for vacation. You just take a week off and you stay at home, do things around the house, and you just have a vacation at home. And so we're going to be talking about, we're going to be looking at ways the church can serve and love others right where we are. And I'll be encouraging you to view life's interruptions as opportunities. If you look all throughout the four Gospels, you'll see where Jesus was interrupted multiple times. He'd be in the middle of preaching something, and an interruption would come up. You know what Jesus did? He took that opportunity to minister. He took that opportunity to make a difference. So that's what we're going to be talking about here in a couple of weeks. But we're in Colossians today, and next week we'll finish up Colossians. But if you have your Bibles or an electronic device with your Bible app, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll begin reading at verse 18 in just a moment. So think for a moment about our Christian relationships. All relationships for Christians, they should be viewed through the eyes of Christ. Our lives are lived in Christ, and in any home, the tone of personal relationships must be dictated by the awareness that Jesus Christ is an unseen but ever-present guest. In any parent-child relationship, the dominating thought must be the fatherhood of God, and we must try to treat our children as God treats his sons and daughters. And the thing which settles any master and servant relationship is that both are servants of the one master, Jesus Christ. The one thing that brings all types of relationships together in Christianity is that Jesus Christ is introduced into them all. And that's important. You know, last week we read how Paul focused on basic Christian character traits. Today, we want to look at how Paul focuses on individual responsibilities within the family and how we should function within God's economy. So I want to look at three relationship groups. And we're going to begin reading our text that's found in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 18, and we'll read through chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, listen up. Where's my children at? Listen to this very carefully. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand what Jesus is telling you here. God's telling you here. He's speaking to you today. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is speaking. He speaks of three types of relationships and how we should function with each other on a daily basis. Now, those three types of relationships, there are this. And the first one's husbands and wives, then parents and children, and then employer and employee. And today I hope to give you a view into what God says and what Paul told the church at Colossae and how that relates to us today. And I hope that everybody will be smiling at me after this is over. And I want you to understand that God has a plan for all of our relationships, from husbands and wives and how we treat one another, to children and parents and how we treat one another, and even to your employer and employee and how those relationships matter. And all of these, if we are Christians, should be found in the bonds of Christ, and know that Christ is our master of all. You ever seen marionette puppets? You know what I'm saying? Now, understand, God's not up there controlling us, but he's our master. But yet he gives us, the strings are not there. He gives us free reign to do and to live how we want. He gives us guidelines of how we should function and how we should live our life. And so these are the guidelines that he has delivered to Paul, and Paul has spoken to the church at Colossae. And you can also see some of these same remarks found that was made to the church at Ephesus. And so here we are. Husband and wives, look at verses 18 and 19 again. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Now, you know, many people outside of Christian circles, they get upset at the word submit. They don't like that word. The truth is they don't fully understand the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 gives us a view of what Paul was talking about. It reads this, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." There's a good example of the word submit right there. To submit means to yield one's own rights for the sake of another. The general biblical principle of mutual submission in Christ has as its goal to do what is best for others and to help them fulfill their God-given purposes. This principle is to be applied first of all to the Christian family. The wife must submit to her husband's responsibility of leadership in the family. The husband must submit to his wife's needs in an attitude of love and sacrifice. Children must submit to the authority of the parents in obedience to God, and parents must submit to the needs of their children and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Do you see how this works? Everybody has a job to do of submitting. We submit to each role to allow God to work in the family. The wife is given the God-appointed task of helping and submitting to her husband. The meaning of submit, as used here, is not referring in a strict sense of obedience. That does not mean that the husband should say, "Submit, woman, you know, do what I tell you to do." That's not what that means at all. And we have to understand that as Christians, as believers. And in Scripture, it's never used with respect to a wife's relationship to her husband, where it's a dominating view. Her God-given duty to her husband includes love, respect, assistance, purity, submissiveness, development of a gentle and quiet spirit, and being a good mother and caretaker of the home, according to Scripture. Now, I could have looked each Scripture up and read each Scripture for you. They're all throughout Titus, Ephesians, where we're at here in Colossians. You know, these are all things that the Scripture says that a wife, and also in 1 Peter, is in a relationship with her husband. Submitting to a husband as to the Lord does not put the husband in the place of the Lord. The Lord is still the Lord. That does not make the man the Lord over all. But it shows that the wife ought to submit to her husband as an act of submission to the Lord. And in this way, God sees the wife's actions toward her husband as an actual part of her obedience to Jesus. Now, God has established the family as the basic and foundational unit in society. Every family must have a leader. Amen? It's just like in any organization. If we were to have a business, if you had a business and you didn't have a leader, what would happen to that business? Chaos. In the home, if you didn't have a leader in the home, what would happen? Chaos. And if the person that is supposed to be the leader is not the leader, what happens? Chaos, right? If we don't have leadership in the home, there is chaos. The husband's God-given responsibility as head of the wife includes provision for the family's spiritual and domestic needs, love, protection, and interest in her welfare in the same way that Christ loves the church. Think about how much Christ loves the church. Husbands, think about this. Christ loved the church so much that he died for the church. I mean, that gives you good perspective there. Us as husbands, we should be willing to lay down our life for our families. Christ loves the church. Honor, understanding, appreciation, thoughtfulness, absolute faithfulness to the marriage relationship. Submission in the marriage relationship is not the attitude required only of wives. In fact, as the head of the home, the husband is to take the lead in submitting to and serving the best interest of his wife and children. He must help his wife fulfill her God-given roles at home, in the church, and in all aspects of life. Let's move on to the parents and children. Hopefully I made that as clear as I possibly can. I hope we understand the roles of husbands and wives a little more. Parents and children, if you look at verses 20 and 21 again of our text, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Now, it says fathers, but it's including parents, not just fathers. That's just how it's labeled, but it means parents. "Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Now, normally, children of Christian parents, they remain under parental guidance until they become part of another family unit through marriage. Small children must be taught to obey and honor their parents through godly training and instruction. Older children, even after marriage, should continue to show respect for their parents' counsel and honor them in old age through care and financial support if needed. You know, according to Paul's God-inspired instructions, it is the parents' responsibility to raise their children in a way that prepares them to fulfill God's purposes for their lives. It is the family, now listen to me, it is the family, not the church, not the school, or any other institution that is primarily responsible for the training. Amen? The core of Christian parental care is this. The heart of the earthly father must be attuned to and responsive to the child's heart in order to teach that child to turn toward and respond to the heart of their heavenly father and his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now let me say this. You do your part. You do the best you can. At one point, that child is going to become an adult. Guess what? They make their own decisions. You say, yeah, but I failed. You know, we can go back and we can say, well, I did this, or I should have done better at this. They're an adult now. They can make their own decisions. When I walk out of my house every single day, I make the decisions what to do. I choose when I get up in the mornings what clothes to put on. Guess who's not responsible if I come dressed like, you know, goofy? If I have the wrong pants and shirts on, is it my wife's responsibility? No. Is it my mom and dad's responsibility? No. Why? Because I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. The same way goes in raising your children, after you have raised them, they have a responsibility to take that responsibility and become a full-functioning adult. They can make their own decisions whether or not they choose to serve Christ or not. We teach them, and we hope that they will remain strong in their faith, and we, you know, we send them out into that world. And remember also, as children, we dedicated them to the Lord. We said, God, they're yours. And so we have to trust to believe that we have done our job and we've done what we are supposed to do as believers. You know, in raising their children, parents should show no favoritism to one child over another. They should encourage as well as correct. They should punish wrong behavior only when it is deliberate and intentional. They should dedicate their lives to their children with hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Do you notice something there? The fruit of the Spirit. We should have the fruit of the Spirit actively in our relationships, both with our spouse and with our children. And moving to the third relationship that I want to talk to about this morning is employer and employee. Now, there were slaves in the early church, and that's the reference that Paul makes here. Paul does not approve of slavery, nor does he authorize revolt against masters. He simply instructs slaves and masters how to conduct themselves in a Christ-honoring way. And I believe that we can use the employer-employee relationship when looking at Paul's words here. I'm not saying that it's exactly the same. You know, when you are employed by somebody, you are not their slave. You know, they are your boss and you are their employee, and you're, you know, to do what they ask you to do, you know, and more than likely your boss probably has a boss and so forth. That boss hasn't, you know, and so everybody's being accountable to somebody, even in larger corporations. The CEOs and the CFOs and all those things, they have a board that they are accountable to. Even though I am pastor of this church, I still have people that I am accountable to. I'm accountable to my board. I'm accountable to our district, to our general offices. You know, there's a food chain there, if you would. You know, we all have somebody that we are under. And ultimately, all of us are under the authority of God and what God has placed upon each of us. Amen? God is the master of all. And I love what verse 23 says. It's very similar to a verse we read last week. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. That's something that all of us in our jobs and in our relationships and everything that we do, we should work as if we are working for God, not to men. You ever had a job where you didn't have a Christian boss? Someone that didn't believe the same way you did. Sometimes those people are hard to work for, amen? And you're thinking, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But can I tell you, you just have to sometimes buckle down and know that, you know what? I'm a Christian and I'm going to do everything that I can because I am working for the Lord. I'm doing this for Jesus. And we are working in authority of who has hired us, but we are ultimately working in the authority of God that has given us the abilities to do the job that we are doing. Paul encourages Christians to consider all of their efforts and labor as a service directly to the Lord, knowing that all work performed for the Lord will someday be awarded. Verse 25 says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Within family, church, school, employment, and all other social relationships, God expects his people to show love, to show justice, to show fairness to one another. And if taken seriously, these verses would eliminate much of the unloving and unjust treatment of others. You know, anyone who mistreats and does wrong to another believer, our text says, will be repaid for his wrong. Those who are guilty of such behavior, they'll be judged and they will bear the consequences without bias or partiality. And I love what Paul says as he's closing out this section. He starts the new chapter, verse 1 of chapter 4. He says this. Paul gives great advice to masters, and I believe this would be great advice to any employer. He says this, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Ultimately, if we have people over us, we need to understand, or if we have people under us working, we need to understand that we are accountable to God the Father, and we must listen and we must obey to what He is asking of us and what He wants us to do. He is ultimately our master. We serve a master of one. We serve Jesus. We serve God, our Father. And He is the one who is over us. And we need to submit to His authority and submit to who He has. And then as we ask and receive and say, "God, give me strength so that I can work with those under me, that I can minister to those under me, God, help me to be able to be the manager, the boss, the CEO, whatever your title may be, God, to those under me so that I can serve them." You know, I love what Hans Finzel that said. He in his book, Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make. And one of the things was he said, it's like an inverted pyramid, you know, where the whoever's at the top is like supporting the rest. He's there to serve, to help. And a lot of times they think, "Well, I'm at the top. I've arrived. You know, I'm at the top. I'm king of my castle," or whatever. And he says, but it's like an inverted. He says, even though you're at the top, that is now you are at the bottom, and you are there to serve and to help in whatever way, to minister to those that are under you. But God has placed each of us in the life of someone else. Think about this. Whether you are a husband or a wife, God has placed that spouse in your life. Whether you are a parent or a child, you have been placed together for a purpose, for a reason. I know as parents, sometimes we think, "God, why'd you give me this child?" Anybody ever said those prayers? You know? Never, right? But we know that God placed them in our care for a reason and for a purpose. Children, some of you may be asking, "God, why'd you give me these parents?" You know? And the truth is, you know, God put us together for a reason. We have a master who's looking over us and who's ahead of us, and we are to show support and do what we can for one another. But God has placed them in your life, and we as believers must learn how we are to be as one together in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Can we pray? Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, I thank you for everybody that's here. God, I thank you for those that have, maybe they're struggling, whether it's a child or a parent that may be far from you. God, I pray for those relationships right now. God, maybe it's an employer or an employee that's not saved, and they've been praying for them and they've been praying and asking that you would touch their life. God, whatever relationship it is that's in our life that we may have of somebody that doesn't know you, God, I pray right now, God, that you would touch their hearts. Give us opportunities. Give us ways that we can minister. God, for children that may have fallen away from the faith, God, I pray that you would give us opportunities to speak life into their hearts. Help them to remember what they were taught and bring them back to you, God. God, for parents that don't know you, God, help their children to be able to speak life into their hearts. And God, I praise you and I give you glory. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this song this morning.
Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me, and I open up my heart, let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand, for I always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your your river runs with love for me, and I open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down.
God is so good. Amen. As you leave today, our ushers will be at the back doors holding the offering plates. If you would like, we also have where you can give online, or you can also send in your tithes. I want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. And it's your giving that helps us to be able to do the ministry that we do. And I'm so grateful for all of you and everything that you've done. Thank you so much. I want to remind you, don't forget Wednesday night Bible study. Every Wednesday night we're live on YouTube, and you can give. And so thank you so very much. And y'all have a wonderful week. And it's going to be good. It's supposed to be start getting warm. So, all right. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us.
And oh, I feel like that. Huh?